This is Mike Valentine from the Strobance Cardiovascular Center at Centra in Lynchburg, Virginia, and currently incoming president of the American College of Cardiology. I'll be your host for the podcast series, Practice Made Perfect, a new featuring with in-depth conversations with experts on topics related to career and leadership development necessary for young cardiovascular professionals to succeed in the changing healthcare landscape. Join us as we explore these critical subjects of non-clinical competencies in the weeks to come.
Hello, I'm Fred Masudi. I'm a professor of medicine at the University of Colorado. I'm joined today by Dick Kovacs, who's a professor of medicine at Indiana University School of Medicine and the vice president of the American College of Cardiology. Welcome to the Practice Made Perfect podcast series. Today we're going to talk about clinical quality. How do I get scored? We're going to go over several issues, including programs that are measuring clinician performance, some other payer programs that are measuring performance, talk about some of the public-facing rating programs like U.S. News and World Report and even Yelp and Angie's List, and then finally talk about NCDR and its role in measurement and reporting. So, Dick, I'm going to turn to you and ask you a little bit about some of the federal programs that involve measurement and what our listeners should know about these things.
Thanks, Fred. I think the most important report that you need to know about is your quality and resource use report, so-called QRUR, with data that come from the CMS, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, because it's used for a wide variety of purposes, including determining the value modifier that's applied to your Medicare payments. Now, accessing this data takes some work, but the CMS website provides good step-by-step instructions. And the Medicare Learning Network is also an excellent source of information. Now, remember that these data are sorted according to how you're paid. That means your tax ID number for a practice or for an individual, however your tax ID structure is created in your own practice environment. So it's important to understand how your practice bills and what's the TIN structure for your group. In multi-specialty groups, quality and utilization may be quite different than in a single specialty group or for a solo provider. Remember also that the tax ID number bills for all EPs. And remember, in the federal lexicon, that means eligible provider, not electrophysiologist. So your physician assistants, nurse practitioners, and other providers may also be included under your tax ID number. Now, these data on quality and utilization are freely available, and groups are compared to like groups for benchmarking. And like all federal programs, there's a substantial lag in these data. So data from 2016 were recently reported and are being used to calculate the value modifiers for 2018. So the take-home lesson on this is that since tax ID structure is often unique to a group, the generalizations about this are difficult to make on how your practice is going to be viewed by its peers. You need to really become familiar with these data.
And so you're saying, Dick, that these are used to calculate a value modifier. So there's a bit of a multiplier that would apply to Medicare reimbursement. Is that right?
That is correct. Now, remember that some advanced payment models, such as Pioneer Accountable Care Organizations and Next Generation Accountable Care Organizations, may not be using the value modifiers right now. So you need to be familiar with how you're being paid under the federal programs.
Excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about how other payers, so non-CMS payers, are using reporting?
That's very important, Fred, because like CMS, these data are tracked on all of us, but it's even more complex because of the number of insurance plans, networks, and intermediaries. Suffice it to say that you're also wise to investigate your program with the major payers that you deal with. For example, in our state of Indiana, Anthem is a dominant payer, but one Anthem plan is not like another Anthem plan, and there are literally hundreds of plans, often self-funded by employers, and those all have different views of a provider's quality and utilization. Sometimes your profile will qualify you as a preferred provider. Sometimes it will profile you as a high-cost provider. And these data are not as transparent. I personally would advise understanding the important criteria set by probably two or three of your most important plans. Remember also that these quality metrics apply at the hospital level. So, for example, Locally, our Anthem scorecard determines payments for hospital services, but many of the quality factors are driven by the cardiovascular providers, like care of the acute MI or how we handle PCIs. In fact, we get Anthem points on our scorecard just for participation in national registries like the NCDR. So NCDR is very positively received in our institution for this reason, which is also a nice reason for me to ask Fred a couple of questions. But before we get to the discussion of the NCDR, what about the physician profiles that we see just out in the public space and on the web?
Yeah, Dick, thanks for that question. I think I'd first start with U.S. News and World Report rankings, which aren't physician level, they're hospital level, but ones that I think physicians and clinicians are heavily invested in because of the press that they get with the release of the rankings every year. And I know that in many hospitals, there's a great deal of effort that goes into encouraging clinicians to vote as part of the reputation score, which I'll get to in a moment. But there's a feeling that this carries a lot of weight in terms of referrals. And again, not at a physician level, but a hospital level ranking that's important to clinicians. And the U.S. News has been publishing their specialty rankings annually since 1990. And the point is to try and identify hospitals that excel at treating particularly difficult patients, so not necessarily the standard process of care that are delivered for very common illnesses. And the ranking system methodology is posted on the web, and it's actually quite detailed and rigorous. It includes structural measures from the American Hospital Association database. It includes a hospital volume, a nursing staffing, which makes up almost a third of the score. What they call the process score, which is made up of two components, probably the most controversial is the reputation score, which accounts for 24% of the overall ranking. And this is based on votes by physicians across the nation in terms of the reputation of a specific hospital in delivering, in our case, cardiovascular care. There's also a 5% score for patient safety. Then about a little bit more than a third of the rating is based on risk-adjusted mortality outcomes using CMS data. Specific to cardiovascular disease, this is where NCDR comes in again. There is a 3% component of the score that can be received by virtue of participating in the NCDR voluntary public reporting program at the hospital level, as well as participation in our sister society, the Society of Thoracic Surgeons public reporting program as well. I think most of our listeners are familiar with the U.S. News rankings, maybe not so much with the methodology. And there have been some studies around this issue and the value of the U.S. News and World Report rankings and how they relate to outcomes as measured by other sources. And in fact, there's a recent study that was published in JACC, the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, by Sukul and colleagues, that assessed the appropriateness and outcomes of PCI using the NCDR CAP PCI registry across the U.S. News and World Report ranked hospitals. Found that there was really little correlation between the appropriateness and outcomes of these PCIs. So some controversy about these rankings, and certainly I know the reputation scores raises some questions.
Well, Fred, Indianapolis is the home of Angie's List. So what about these sort of online rankings and reputations that are built on the web?
Yeah, so there are a lot of different ways in which, you know, physicians might appear online in ranking systems. As you say, Angie's List, Yelp, whatever the sources may be. And of course, these are highly selected rankings. As you can imagine, individuals who are extremely satisfied with their care and perhaps individuals who are extremely dissatisfied with their care may be more likely to respond by one of these mechanisms. Interestingly, there was a recent study published in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings from a group at Mayo that compared online rankings with Press Ganey scores from the hospital. And Press Ganey scores are patient satisfaction scores that are more comprehensive and that they're generally collected from the entire population of patients that a physician treats. And what they found was that there was essentially no correlation between Press Ganey scores among physicians who had received negative ratings in an online platform versus those who had not received negative ratings, which would support the hypothesis that these online rankings selectively represent the views of patients who may be less satisfied with their care. And obviously, I think what this means is that it's important for us to monitor our profiles online and know what's out there in terms of our online presence.
Well, Fred, you've been very involved with the National Cardiovascular Data Registries, and they're certainly a real important way of measuring performance and quality. how does the NCDR fit into all of this?
Well, I think as most people know, the fundamental premise of NCDR is to support quality improvement at institutions. Not really a reporting function per se in the public venue, but really is a mechanism to have feedback using national benchmarks to help support the identification of areas where quality might be improved and to provide both institutions and individual physicians with targets to shoot for in terms of improvement in quality. And for those who have been involved with NCDR over the years know that the hallmark of participation in the program is feedback of quality metrics and outcome metrics with benchmarks compared with all the other institutions that participate with an NCDR. Now, the mechanisms of assessing NCDR data have become much more flexible over the years, and there are now online dashboards for most of the programs where it's possible to assess the data in a variety of different ways, looking at it at the individual clinician level, looking at it compared with like institutions in a variety of different ways to look at more contemporaneous data in a more flexible way. But again, this feedback has been one of the fundamental premises of the NCDR as the basis for improving quality of cardiovascular care. The one thing I would say is that we make a very clear distinction at the NCDR between measures that we would say are appropriate for quality improvement and those that meet additional criteria that might be used for the purposes of accountability, for whatever that might be, and public reporting, for example, is a type of accountability. We make very clear distinctions about them because we understand that any metrics that are used for accountability need to have higher fidelity and much greater credibility than those that might just be used for the purposes of quality improvement. We have a number of relationships with eight programs. NCDR data have been used in Massachusetts to support their state-level quality program, assessing outcomes in PCI, for example, and also with payer programs. I would also add that there's a voluntary hospital-level public reporting program, the results of which are available on the CardioSmart platform for both CAP PCI and the ICD registry, and soon the ACTION registry. Again, these aren't physician-level metrics. These are institution-level metrics. And it's also a voluntary program. As I mentioned before, participation in this program will get institutions a small amount of credit on the U.S. News and World Report ranking system. Obviously, again, not physician level, but again, of course, cardiovascular specialists are heavily involved in the perception and appearance and the quality of care. Obviously, it's delivered in their institution. And currently, the metrics that are used for the purposes of the voluntary hospital level reporting program are largely process metrics. This may evolve to include outcomes metrics using robust and validated risk adjustment models, of course, to account for differences in patient mix.
So, Fred, it sounds like it's not a good idea to have our head in the sand on these metrics and all the ways that we're being measured, both in the public and in private. So what's your take home out of this?
Yeah, Dick, I think you're right. It wouldn't be very productive to stick one's head in the sand around these metrics. It turns out that quality measurement, quality assessment, quality improvement is now entirely embedded in the fabric of healthcare. And we no longer live in an environment where we can expect not to be accountable for the quality of care that we deliver to patients and the outcomes that we achieve. And measurement is pervasive throughout medicine, particularly in cardiovascular disease and cardiothoracic surgery, where methods of measurement and the infrastructure for measurement has been quite robust. Registries like NCDR are intended to facilitate measurement and improvement in quality and certainly demonstrate how one is doing in terms of delivering the right care to the right patient at the right time.
I couldn't agree more. So thank you for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed this installment of the podcast, Practice Made Perfect. And for further information, access acc.org. And through that, the NCDR and quality improvement for institutions from the American College of Cardiology. Thank you.
This is Mike Valentine from the Strobance Cardiovascular Center at Centra in Lynchburg, Virginia, and currently incoming president of the American College of Cardiology. I'll be your host for the podcast series, Practice Made Perfect, a new featuring with in-depth conversations with experts on topics related to career and leadership development necessary for young cardiovascular professionals to succeed in the changing healthcare landscape. Join us as we explore these critical subjects of non-clinical competencies in the weeks to come.